It's open air on the Rhythm and News service of Jefferson Public Radio, also streaming online at ijpr.org. I'm Eric Thiel. We've got another great live session in store for you today. My guest is Ian Ethan Case, who has been known as an amazing double neck guitarist, but he's got a brand new project that we're going to talk about today. Ian Ethan, welcome to Jefferson Public Radio.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Your new album is called The Narrow Way, and it is perhaps the first album I have ever seen of kalimba music. What is a kalimba? What is this thing that you're playing?
Well, it's actually a really simple instrument. It almost looks like a toy if you're unfamiliar with it. It's mine anyway, is made out of a gourd called a calabash. So it's sort of like, if you can picture a hemisphere, hollowed out gourd, and then a piece of wood on top, and then 12 metal keys that you pluck with your thumbs. It's kind of the only instrument I know of that you play pretty much completely with your thumbs. So sometimes people call it a thumb piano as well.
Where is it from exactly?
This one was made with materials from Ghana. I think it was made by a guy in Southern California who's from Ghana. But the instrument originates in Africa, and then it's they also have, you know, different variations on the instrument throughout South America and, you know, all over the world at this point. But I, you know, I was sort of given this instrument not really having ever studied any of the authentic, you know, musical traditions that it's normally associated with. So this has kind of been, for me, just an exploration of music that just the instrument itself has led me to, in terms of the way the notes are laid out. You know, it tends to really focus you in on certain kinds of musical ideas, just because of the sound and the inherent limitations and possibilities that it offers.
And this is the kind of thing that you often see at like a street fair or a bazaar, right? They're sometimes, you know, very inexpensive.
Yeah, I mean, there's actually all kinds of ways you can make a kalimba, and yeah, they sell ones for like, you know, $40, $20, and they're actually a really beginner-friendly instrument in some ways, because they're normally tuned to a scale, so you can, in a way, you can't really hit a wrong note, and they just sort of have this naturally really beautiful sound. And, you know, at the same time, this project, I initially thought it would be like a really quick and easy project to do. I just wanted to record these five solo kalimba pieces that I had started, you know, mixing in with my double neck repertoire when I would do concerts, and it turns out it's actually been the most extremely, I almost want to say like excruciating project that I've ever done. I think because the kalimba kind of forces you to like distill everything down into its simplest form, it kind of leaves no room for error whatsoever. And if a single note is out of place, it just, you know, totally ruins the song, or it really sticks out. And so when we started, you know, recording other instruments, other musicians on the songs, that really became apparent that, like, you know, it left kind of no room for improvisation, really, in a lot of cases, and no room for anything kind of not being just right. So that's kind of why it took 2.5 years to just get this one album done. That's even not even quite a full length CD, but it's finally, in the end, I feel like it's exactly what it's supposed to be, and that feels really good. So
cool. Well, let's hear one of the tunes. What are you going to play for us?
Well, I'm going to play a piece called "The Ridge," and this is kind of one of my favorite ones to play solo on the kalimba. A lot of the songs on the CD have other instruments with them, but this is one of the pieces that just is really just a solo kalimba piece.
It's Ian Ethan Case live on Open Air here on Jefferson Public Radio. Thank you. It's Ian Ethan Case live on Open Air here on Jefferson Public Radio. That is The Ridge from the new album of Kalimba Music called The Narrow Way. Ian, I've watched you play this thing now on a couple of different occasions, and you know, honestly, my first thought is you must just absolutely kill it at video games.
That's really funny because I grew up like, you know, with no TV and no video games whatsoever, and I probably if there was like a, you know, contest for the worst video game play ever, I would probably rock at that, but that's about it.
Even with those thumbs, huh? Even with those thumbs.
Well, maybe I should get into it. I don't know. Maybe I'd be great at it at this point.
So there's a lot going on. I mean, you're generally playing this in a fairly straightforward way with just the thumb on each hand, but there's also a lot of percussion going on. And, you know, at the end especially, you can sort of hear your use of hand position as it relates to the sound holes to create some different techniques.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the coolest things about the instrument is it's so organic because it really makes a difference exactly what position your hand is in. It's got these, for those that are unfamiliar with the instrument, it's got these two sound holes kind of on either side of the shell, the gourd, so that basically they're right where your hands are holding the instrument. And so as your hands move kind of even just naturally as you're playing it, it kind of gives a little bit of a vibrato effect. And if you want to, you can kind of accentuate that. I like, you know, instruments like that. And the double neck is the same way, in a way where it's very hands-on, you know, compared to some instruments where you don't quite have as much of that control, that element of really being able to almost grab onto the sound with your hands and make it do what you need it to do is something that resonates with me, I guess.
You seem to definitely be attracted to instruments that are a little bit off the beaten path, you know, both this kalimba and the guitar. And I want to talk about the guitar in just a couple of minutes, but I'm curious with the kalimba. You said you haven't actually had one for all that long. How long did it take you to kind of master that technique?
Well, I never know what to say because, I mean, it's an ongoing thing for me. I'm going to be, you know, playing that for the rest of my life. And every second that I get to play it, I'm really working on trying to get better at it. But, you know, it's really just an ongoing journey with all of these instruments. You know, it's one thing to receive the ideas and another thing to, like, execute them well. Mm. There's still plenty for me to work on in terms of executing it well and reliably, you know. So it's an ongoing journey. But I do really love exploring things that maybe haven't been explored as much as, you know, something like the electric guitar or, you know, a standard form like a blues or something, you know. And mm-hmm. I love all those things. But I feel like the most that I can contribute to the world is to kind of go after the things that really speak to me, that I feel a connection with, that line up with things that haven't been explored as much.
Well, it's an amazing sound. So did you go through sort of traditional musical training? I know you went to the Berklee School for Music.
Yeah, I got to go to Berklee, which was an interesting experience. I use things that I learned there every day, but it was a real tough experience for me because, you know, I'm kind of naturally interested in, like, you know, like we were talking about, trying to explore things that maybe, you know, aren't as thoroughly understood yet. And so I had to, you know, kind of struggle through a lot of that stuff in terms of, like, you know, learning the ropes of, like, here's what we already know about music and this is the way you do it, you know. And so it was actually not until after I left Berklee that I really started to kind of find a little bit more of my own thing and feel like I really had something to contribute. So they're both important, I think.
Well, you've referenced now a couple of times this double neck, and we should talk about what is, I guess, is it safe to say your primary instrument, this double neck guitar that you play? What is it?
Yeah, so the double neck is kind of on the other scale of portability compared to the kalimba, which is like this little handheld instrument. So they're a good balance for each other. But the double neck is... I think a lot of people have seen them. It's, you know, kind of, if you picture two guitars sort of stuck together, you know, it's one guitar body with two different guitar necks coming out of it. And the top neck is a 12-string neck where each string is kind of doubled to give a richer sound. And then the bottom neck is a regular 6-string neck. And I think it was originally created with the thought that, you know, in addition to looking really cool on stage, if you're in a, you know, death metal band or whatever, you can quickly switch between these two different sounds of the 6-string versus the 12-string. And so I used to see these in like catalogs or music videos or whatever and just think, what a stupid instrument, you know, it's just totally for looks. And, you know, like just, if you're going to play 12-string, just get a 12-string, you know. But yeah. When I started to get into some of these, you know, more percussive ways of playing and trying to figure out how to kind of recreate some of the musical functionality that you would normally have in a band situation, trying to recreate that in a solo situation, then I started to think, well, that might actually be really useful to have all these extra strings and frets to work with. So I've really, from the moment I picked it up, when I finally got my hands on one, it just kind of instantly clicked to me as like, you know, this isn't two guitars stuck together. It's like, it's its own thing. It's an 18-string double neck, you know. I don't even like to think of it as a guitar. And so with that kind of mindset, it's really just totally opened up all these really interesting possibilities to me. And I've been working really hard to explore everything that this instrument can do when kind of approached on its own terms.
Before we talk more about this instrument and the way you approach playing it, can we just hear something?
Sure. Yeah. I'm going to play a newer piece I've been working on here. This is called Aftershocks. Thank you.
It's Ian Ethan Case live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio and online at ijpr.org. So Ian, I remember the last time I watched you play on this double neck, and I had the same general reaction, which is sort of dumbfounded at what it is. I mean, I don't even really know what to ask. It's sort of like a how, a what. It's such a different approach to playing. It's almost like a combination of dulcimer and tabla kind of all at the same time. How in the world did you migrate from holding a six-string acoustic guitar into this?
Yeah, well, I think if I had only had a background on regular guitar, I never would end up doing this. And it's everything in my life up to the moment that I picked this thing up, I think kind of prepared me to approach it in this particular way that's been very fruitful for me musically so far, in terms of the instrument just kind of showing me so much of what's there in music. I spent so many years playing all these other instruments, and I was so interested in so many different instruments. I didn't really ever get to a really high level with any particular instrument.
Yeah, you have. You've done it with a couple.
Well, thank you. It's, you know, like I said, a very much an ongoing process. But I think that's kind of the key for me was, you know, having had that experience on piano and drums. So that kind of multi-layered approach or way of hearing things, I think, is part of it. And growing up, I didn't have a lot of people to play with because for a while I was, you know, young enough that all my friends just wanted to play Nintendo. And so I didn't have anyone to play with. And we always lived in really rural areas where there just weren't that many people. So I ended up doing a lot with, recording at home and overdubbing. That whole thing of layering things together and hearing multiple parts work together to say something, you know, greater than the sum of its parts, hopefully, is something that, like, that's the heart of music to me, or at least my interest in it. And the double neck has just turned out to be a really great tool for me to be able to do some of that in real time, you know, and it's not easy. I mean, it's certainly, like, clicked for me more than any other instrument ever has, but sometimes it's more like I realize that there's a way to do something, but I have no idea if I'm going to be able to pull it off, and I just have to, you know, practice and practice and practice until it starts to happen.
Yeah, and you said originally you saw this thing in a catalog. I mean, how many of these could possibly be made in a year?
You know, I don't even know. I think they've stopped making them. I don't know if they're going to make more, you know. That I think not a lot of people know what to do with the instrument, so obviously there's not, you know, a huge demand for it. Maybe that'll change someday. I mean, I think it's a great instrument. You don't have to be at any particular level to start exploring it. I don't know if there's many stores in the world that actually carry them in stock, but I happened to find this one store and got there when they were, like, closing, and I had about 10 seconds to, you know, decide what I was doing. And I played it for about 10 seconds and I was like, oh my gosh, this is my instrument, you know, for the rest of my life.
And we're going to have pictures up, by the way, on our Facebook page of both the double neck and the kalimba so that you can kind of get a sense. And we should also mention that, you know, as I was referencing a few minutes ago, I mean, Ian's kind of a whirlwind of activity when he's playing the double neck. And there are some videos available both on YouTube and also on your website, right? IanEthan.com.
Yeah.
That sort of shows you playing this double neck guitar in your own unique style.
Yeah, those are where the good ones are. And then there's lots of, like, bad ones on YouTube that, you know, people took at live performances when I was making a lot of mistakes. So, you know, you can take your pick.
Was it a bit of a leap for you to set down your guitar after kind of making a name for yourself with it to do a kalimba album?
Yeah, well, you know, in a way, I feel like it's all related. And it's, you know, at the same time, I wanted to, like, have the chance to really, you know, go in deep to you know, to showing, like, this particular view of music as seen through the kalimba, you know, or as I see it through the kalimba. And that was actually more appealing to me than, you know, trying to just, you know, start mixing some random kalimba pieces on some of my double neck albums. I feel like all the songs that have come to me on the kalimba share this really close connection with each other, and it just seemed right to like kind of do that all at once and really, you know, follow that road as far as it went.
Yeah. It's a great collection. It's called The Narrow Way, the new album from Ian Ethan Case. Information on the album at his website, ianethan.com. Also available through typical channels, Amazon, iTunes, all that?
Actually, we've decided to do something a little radical this time around because we spent so much time trying to really get the sound quality to be the best it possibly could. We didn't really want to stuff it through the little pipes that iTunes and everyone else makes you go through in terms of like compressing the heck out of it. So we're offering it completely through the website with Bandcamp widgets, which even the worst quality is like way higher quality than iTunes. So, you know, I guess it's asking a little bit more of the people that want to listen to it. But, you know, hopefully it's worth it for those that are interested to have the much better sound quality.
Well, Ian, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you today. I know that you've talked about looping a little bit and how some of your albums take a bit more preparation time to fully come to realization. Do you want to go out with one from the recording?
Sure, yeah. This is a piece, I guess it's sort of the summit of the record, you know. There are songs on there, like I said, that are just solo kalimba, and then songs with kind of a traditional string band. And this one is kind of the heavyweight. It's got 114 viola and violin and cello parts on there, played by Jeremy Kittle and Nathaniel Smith, and upright bass and drums. And it's called The Quest. And normally I play this live. When I'm playing solo, I use a looper and use the fretless guitar. And there's about 80 fretless guitar parts that I do all live with a looper. But in this case, I was able to do all of that in addition to, you know, having some of those melodies doubled by the strings. And so I was really, really happy with the way that came out.
Ian Ethan, thanks so much for being a guest on Open Air.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been great talking to you.
Open Air continues right after this.